The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back, Pharrell, coast to coast here on the grid. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. It is great to have you with us here today. Joe, I know how excited you are for this week in college football. I know that this is a monster week. We're going to get into it right now. We're going to hear from Rich in a moment. But, Joe, six ranked games. And even besides the games with the two ranked teams, there's several other games, even besides that, with some very high stakes attached to them. One of the best weeks of college football, Joe, in years, the slate that you have.
See Arizona State. We have a couple of late night action. Hawaii kicks off at 11:59 Eastern. And we still have Oak State and Iowa State in an under-the-radar game in the Big 12. You know how I love those, Carver.
I know how you love those. We love the late night bailout blowout slate in college football, which has a couple of decent games for it this week. That is for sure. So we are going to get into all of those things here to start hour number three. But first, Joe, as you know, every week we hear from Rich Sermonello. He gives us the lowdown on the Maxwell update, of course, and a couple of players who absolutely stood out this week. We will hear from him in a moment, and then we will start to dive in to a bunch of these games. I have some ATS numbers for you too, Joe, for teams that are out to a good start and teams that are out to a bad one in this college football season. But first, of course, we would like to welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Sirius XM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio Sports Byline. Here, Pharrell Coast to Coast, Carver High, and Joe Lisi in for Scotty. All right, let's go. Maxwell Awards update this week. Our man, Rich Sermonello.
Hey, Mike, talking some Maxwell football players of the week from week three. We have a very Sunshine State feel to it this week. We'll start with the Maxwell Award player of the week. It's Michael Penix, plays for Washington, but hails from Tampa, Florida. This kid has been absolutely on fire in the month of September. Goes back into Big Ten country. Remember, he's a former Indiana Hoosier, goes into Michigan State and absolutely thrashes a pretty good Spartan defense. 27 of 35, 473 yards, four touchdown passes, no picks in less than three quarters of work, Mike. And, you know, Washington amassed 713 yards in 100 years of football for Michigan State. That program has never allowed that many yards. That was a record for Washington. So Michael Penix, absolutely on fire, connecting with his bevy of receivers. Let's move on to the Bednarik Award. Our player of the week, also from the state of Florida, South Florida Nickelback, do everything Nickelback, Daquan Evans, credit Evans for his speed and his anticipation, but also credit the Bulls defensive coordinator Todd Orlando for using him so well against Alabama. That was 3-3 in the second half. USF was a 32-point underdog, and that game was deadlocked at 3 in the second half. Now, the Bulls lost, but Evans finishes the game with a career day, 8 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 3 sacks in a game that Alabama had its worst passer efficiency rating in 14 years. So Daquan Evans now leads the country in tackles for loss, had an epic performance in the near miss against Alabama. And finally, for the Sean Alexander Freshman Player of the Week, Freshman Award for the Player of the Week, it's Jordan Castell, safety of the University of Florida, another kid who played high school in the state. Mike, this was a kid that was just a 3-star recruit earlier this year, but looks like a blue chipper right now. In that big win over Tennessee, they hold the Volunteers, a high-powered offense, to just 16 points. Castell leads the team with 10 tackles and a pass breakup. He's a 6'2", 200-pound kid, extremely instinctive, targeted all night by Joe Milton, the Tennessee quarterback, allows just one completion. So credit Billy Napier, the head coach of Florida, for once again getting a lower-level recruit and coaching him up. So a lot of excitement in Florida. That's 10 straight in the swamp, by the way, Mike, over the Volunteers.
Certainly is. Great job by Rich Sermonello right there. Mm-hmm. Maxwell Football Club, no arguments with how Penix played this past week.
That's your guy.
Penix, absolutely. That is, I mean, Joe.
That is your guy. He did.
And how about this? Imagine this. That guy went to Indiana. Like, imagine Indiana would have held on to that guy. I know they couldn't, but
Tom Allen, man, couldn't hold on to him, Carver. Tom
couldn't
Allen
hold on to him.
They wish they had him now after losing to Louisville 28-21 this past weekend.
Tough go for Tom Allen here this week. That's sure. All right, Joe. A couple of other things. One, the Mel Tucker stuff. Obviously, yesterday, speaking of, he was chopped yesterday, or told he's getting chopped for cause. Tucker said today he called his firing a, quote, miscarriage of justice. And he claims that there are, quote, other motives at play. Other motives probably meaning, Joe, they don't want to pay him $90 million. That would be the other motives at play for what's been mediocre football since he lost Kenneth Walker to the NFL. Let's just call it.
Wait a second. He lost Kenneth Walker to the NFL. On the football aspect, he lost Peyton Thorne to Auburn and Keon Coleman to Florida State, and both of those teams are undefeated, and both players are making dividends for both of those programs.
Losing Peyton Thorne should have been a plus for him.
Well, it was the starting quarterback. Noah Kim has stepped up, but I mean, come on. Not 90. It's like in the area now. I think they gave Franklin and him both $95 million extensions. He's probably down to like 84 now. It's only $84 million.
Right. Well, they've only given him a little bit already, that's for sure. I said this to Mike DeCourcy earlier. That's going to go on for years in terms of all that stuff. And the other thing was 9.3 million watched Colorado and Colorado State late night on Saturday. Joe, it's like the fifth most watched game in ESPN college football history.
That's
Deion,
great.
Deion,
awesome.
But it's great and it's awesome that people are watching college football. I just get how much Deion has brought eyeballs to the screens is crazy to think about, Joe. I mean,
we coming. That's it. Can they shut down? I'll tell you what. If Colorado gets the victory, 20.5-point dogs, that offensive line needs to get better. Going up against a very solid front seven in Oregon, Shedeur Sanders got knocked around by Colorado State last week. They had, in both games, they allowed 12 sacks. They gave up another 6 last week.
And now they got Oregon and USC knocking on the door the next couple of weeks. Going to be a tough task, that's for sure. All right, we'll come back. I've got a lot of college football stuff. You've got some ATS stuff. I got national title. I got Heisman. And I got to look at 4 or 5 of these games that are coming up on Saturday. Huge games, Joe, in college football. All right, Pharrell Coast to Coast, Carver High and Joe in for Scotty, Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rocking right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Pharrell, coast to coast here on a Tuesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. BetMGM has you set up with their first bet offer, $1,500 first bet offer. Use bonus code SG1500. This is for all new BetMGM Sportsbook account users. Just download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android. Visit BetMGM.com. Sign up and deposit at least $10 into your BetMGM Sportsbook account. Place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. And if it does lose, your bonus bets will be available once the initial wager is settled. That, of course, is bonus code SG1500, SG1500 for BetMGM. All right, Joe, here we go. College football for you. First, some notes heading into this week. Number one, notable teams 3-0 ATS. So 3-0 so far in the college football season. Oregon, Ole Miss, Syracuse 3-0 ATS. Oklahoma, Penn State, Rutgers 3-0. Rice, how about UNLV after the outright win over Vandy? Arizona on the list, Joe, 3-0 against the spread. Liberty and Coastal Carolina, undefeated ATS.
The only one I like on that list is potentially Ole Miss. It's a little scary. They've lost seven straight to the Alabama Crimson Tide by 27.4 points per game. But I think we could roll with Jackson Dart and potentially the Lane Train, Carver. Give me the Lane Train.
Lane Train. So very good covering. They have covered for you. I think you've had him in all three of those covers, Joe. Maybe at least two out of the three covers.
Two of the three.
For Ole Miss so far, that's for sure. Other side of the coin, teams 0-3 against the number so far in college football. Some heavy hitters on here too, Joe. Michigan, Georgia. Then some not heavy hitters. NC State, Illinois, Minnesota, PJ Fleck not rowing the boat for bettors. Arizona State, Florida Atlantic, and my Roadrunners UTSA out 0-3 against the spread, Joe.
Frank Harris is out. I mean, come on. Illinois was gutless last week. Luke Altmaier was an absolute train wreck. It was ridiculous. Offensive line broke down for Brett Bielema. They couldn't run it consistently. Defense, I thought, played okay. Gave their offense an opportunity to potentially cover that number. They just couldn't do it. Turnovers were incredible for the Illini. Backup comes in, Paddock. He gets them down to the 5-yard line. No time left. I could have gotten them back door. Amazing.
Amazing indeed. All right, Joe. Odds to win the national title as we head into this very, very big fourth week of college football. Georgia, of course, the favorite still, +225. Michigan now 4-1. Ohio State, Texas, Florida State. Ohio State and Texas both 10-1. Florida State 12-1. USC 15. Penn State 17. Notre Dame 18. You like anything deeper than that, Joe? I mean, Alabama's 50 now.
Now, Alabama's here's what I would out of that list. I'm not taking any of the front runners on that list. I would take a shot on Sam Hartman and Notre Dame because of the quarterback. I think they're playing well. And then obviously Penn State because of their ability to run it. If we're going deeper, I think Washington's potentially a shot with Michael Penix. Could be the best team in the Pac-12. Utah. And then let's not forget LSU and Clemson. You know, if Florida State loses and Clemson runs the table and wins the ACC, they're going to be there again. And why not get them at 30 and 40-1 respectively for both teams?
Clemson is 60 now, Joe.
Even worse.
60-1 for Clemson. LSU is at 35-1. You mentioned Washington. They're at 22 right now. As far as the Heisman goes, we have had a little bit of separation in the odds for this as well. Caleb Williams, of course, 350. Then Penix and Quinn Ewers. Then Sam Hartman up the board, Joe. And I think partially Sam Hartman up the board. He was like 20 a week ago. It's because everybody that was kind of around him has fallen so far that allowed Hartman to get up there and Jordan Travis there as well. I like feel like those are the five. You know, they've separated here. There's still a long way to go. But I think that those are the clear five leaders, at least.
Well, if we're talking about the clear five leaders, I would bet on Penix right now. Because the amount of money, games, and what he's putting up in limited action, he's absolutely dissecting defenses. Now, could he do that against Oregon and Seattle? Could he do that against USC? If he does that, he's going to be the front runner, no doubt. So get him now if you think he can make a run 5-1. I still like Hartman. I'm with you. Who else is out there? Maybe Jaden Daniels, just because if LSU runs the table carver, if they go 11-1 and he hit his first 14 passes last week, you can't rule him out.
Yeah. He has gone down to, where did I just see him at? 30-1.
Why is he only 30? Why is he only 30?
Well, you got to remember, he was like 10 before the season. He was like one of the top three or four guys when the season started. Loses the game to Florida State, plummets down the board. Like you said, you continue to win, you slowly find yourself going back up the board. And it's not impossible. I don't disagree with you, but I just feel one of these guys at the top
is
going to have a one-loss year and go to the college football playoff, and that's going to push them.
A flyer out there, and it's a big if. But if Jackson Dart knocks off Alabama, his offense is putting up 399 passing yards per game, right in that area, over 300. He rushed it last week for .136 on the ground, averaged 9.1 yards per carry, okay, with two touchdowns, and threw for 251 and a tutty. Okay, if he averages 400 total yards of offense on the ground and through the air, and they're undefeated and knock off Alabama and LSU, and then knock off Georgia, keep an eye out for Jackson Dart. I'm just saying, it's a long shot, but why not get him now at 100-1?
125-1 for Jackson Dart right now. How about that? $125. All right, Joe. Tomorrow on Coast to Coast, we are going to do a full wall-to-wall, cover-to-cover college football preview. I'm going to have coach sound for you. I'm going to have everything for you. That's what we're going to do Wednesdays here with me and you. But just let's dip the toe on a few of the bigger games. Of course, Ohio State in South Bend against Notre Dame on Saturday night under the lights. The Kelly Green is coming out as well for the jerseys. It's going to look great on the screen. 3.5 for the Irish. Seen some threes as well, Joe, around. You know how I feel about this one.
Well, I thought you were going to tell me how you feel about this one.
Everybody knows how I feel about this one.
Well, you know how I feel. Hang on. You know how I feel about this one, too, because I'm sitting on a +8.5 ticket preseason with Notre Dame. So here's the thing, though, Carver. In this ball game, especially at home, with Audric Estimate and the heavy offensive line, look for the rushing attack to take over. What's the weakness of Ohio State in big ball games? Couldn't stop the rushing attack for Michigan in back-to-back matchups, right? They had 9 rushing touchdowns and averaged 274 yards on the ground. I'm not inclined to think that it's Hartman over the top. I think it's the rushing attack early with Estimate that opens up Hartman later in the ball game. I still like Notre Dame.
Florida State already has a big win this year, of course, against LSU. But if there's a team that they have had problems with in the ACC, of course, it is Clemson. They're going to Clemson, and their favorites on the road. This has gone down to 2.5 now, 56 total. It's a tough game, Joe, but I'm on the Tigers. Outright. Outright.
Me too. They've won 5 straight by 22.6 points per game, and they're 54-2 straight up in Death Valley. They rarely lose. I'll take that any day of the week. Give me Clemson outright.
We'll come back. I've got 2 or 3 others I'm going to give you fast, and then we'll get into all the baseball for tonight. Everyone's in action. I've got the home runs for you as well. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver, hi, Joe Lisi. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High, Joe Lisi in for Scotty, Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio. Fast with these, Joe, and I promise you more in-depth tomorrow with all of the big college football matchups for the weekend. But Colorado now into a different situation than the last few weeks, Joe. Obviously took everyone by surprise with TCU. Played two teams they were probably obviously a lot better than in Nebraska and Colorado State. But now in Eugene, a whole nother ball of wax getting three touchdowns.
Yeah, I can only look to Oregon right now because of the offensive line and how atrocious they were against, a suspect defensive front in terms of Colorado State. Colorado State got abused by Washington State, and Cam Ward allowed well over 400 yards of total offense through the air. I think it's a big day for Bo Nix. I think it's a big day for Bucky Irving and the rushing attack for Oregon. Too much physicality, Carver. I love Dion, and I love Colorado, but if I had to bet this game, and I'm not going to be, but I would only lean to Oregon in this ballgame.
Alabama, Joe, doesn't have a quarterback. They have problems on their offensive line, and they have problems in their secondary. Sounds like it might be a good spot for Lane Kiffin to go into Tuscaloosa and get himself a win over to Crimson Tide.
All right, so the you know what? The numbers are gaudy. I mean, Alabama has won seven straight by 27.4 points per game, won this game last year, did not cover 30-24 as a double-digit favorite. Here's the problem, Carver. You keep telling me you love it, love it, love it. These are the games that Alabama and Nick Saban step up. I love Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Significant offense. They're averaging 500 total yards of offense. They can run it. They can throw it. They have Quinshon Judkins. They just need to be clean with the football. They can't turn it over. I'm with you, but stop pumping the Lane train.
No,
stop. You're going with your chest out. I want this game.
No.
I want this game.
No.
Ole Miss.
You don't understand.
You're talking way too much.
That was the old Alabama, what you just said. This is the kind of game Alabama. That Alabama is not this year's team. That is not. The Alabama of the past is not this year. This team is not on the same level. This is the year where these teams are going to get their shot. And they're going to go into this play. I mean, imagine them losing two games in a row at home. I mean, they lost two games at home in the last, like, 15 years combined.
Why even throw it out there? Why even throw it out there?
Outright for the Lane train.
They lost their second home game
this Saturday.
Alabama lost their second home game, okay, to Texas since 2016. It rarely happens. They're never, just so you know, they're never... Okay, almost never an eight or a touchdown favorite at home. Happened two times in 2015. They split one
old
and
Alabama.
One. Happened once in 2019, once in 2020, and now two times again in 2023. They lost Texas, and now you're sticking your chest out like you called that game.
Well, guess what, Joe? There's going to be more than two times this year because they ain't that good this year. So there's going to be more times they're going to be less. They're going to be single-digit favorites at home, because this team is not the Alabama teams of the past.
Don't give them bulletin board material. Don't give Nick any bulletin board material. All right.
Outright. Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa this Saturday. I'll do the rest with you tomorrow. Obviously, UCLA, Utah, Iowa, Penn State, and several others. I'm giving you the full run. Lots of boards of college football tomorrow on Coast to Coast. I promise you that, Joe. All right, let's quickly do the baseball for tonight. I kind of went over last night's stuff with Davis already. Mullins hit a big homer for the Orioles. They beat the Astros. I need the Rangers. Can you the Rangers win a game here against the Red Sox, please? Bryce Harper hit a big homer. He rang the bell for us last night with the tater time. Phillies beat the Braves. Marlins lost in the ninth to the Mets, so that did not help them after sweeping the Braves. A wild card race very tight in the National League. Here we go, Joe. We will start. Where are we starting tonight? We will start in Tampa with the Rays and the Angels. They kick their series off. We have Patrick Sandoval and Taj Bradley to kick things off here. The Rays minus 225, plus $1.80 for the Angels. Flat eight is the total. I'd probably lay the run and a half at even money with the Rays, Joe.
That's what I was going to say. Lay the run and a half, probably go over, right? Rays are going to want to score runs being in the AL East chase. I mean, what are they going to try and win? 3-0? Come on. You go to score runs at home. You got a beaten down dog in L.A.
me and Pharrell talked about this yesterday. These baseball games, the last 2 weeks of the regular season, extremely tricky to get involved with them, with where the heads are for a lot of these players with 2 weeks to go. The Twins are in Cincinnati against the Reds. Reds beat them last night. Fernando Cruz and Kenta Maeda is the pitching matchup here. Twins minus 130 on the road, plus 110 for the Reds. 9.5 the total. Up and away for me, Joe. Over 9.5.
All right, we'll go over the 9.5, but I'm going to take the Reds as a home dog plus the 110 tonight.
The Mets have Lucchese tonight in Miami against Braxton Garrett. Marlins are minus 155. Mets plus $1.25, 8.5 total. Marlins for me, Joe. Obviously, yeah, 155. I think they win the game.
I'm going to lay the 1.5. I don't want to lay the 155. Lay the 1.5 against the Mets.
Wow. Gonna lay
no
it. The Yankees, we have Toronto coming into the Bronx. Clark Schmidt goes for them. And look who it is. It's Kikuchi for the Jays tonight in the Bronx. This is a pick'em right now, minus 110 both ways. 8.5 is the total.
Going
Kikuchi,
over.
Kikuchi, Joe.
I'm going over.
Going over.
Yeah, you took him to the promised land until I said we should bet him last time. We're going over and we're going Yanks.
The law firm of Rutledge and Urena tonight for the White Sox and the Nationals. Nats minus 120, 9.5 the total. Joe, not on my card. Let's just say that way, as these two teams are playing out the string.
Let's lay it. Minus 105 with the White Sox. Better than Nationals. Oh, okay. Come on.
No, better than Nationals. Spencer Strider for the Braves against the Phillies, who will have Christopher Sanchez going. Braves minus 225 with Strider. Plus 185 for the Phillies. Flat 9 the total. The Phillies have hit Strider a little bit this year, Joe. Plus 185 for the Phillies tonight. Up and away. Over the 9? Flat 9 going over?
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. Cleveland has Logan Allen tonight against Cruz for the Royals. Guardians minus 160 on the road. Royals plus 135, 9.5. Another over here, Joe.
I'm taking the dog plus 135 on the Royals. I can't buy into the Guardians in any capacity. I think the game goes under, too.
It'll be Falter and Assad at Wrigley for the Pirates and the Cubbies. Cubs minus 175. They need to get off the deck after a bad West Coast road trip. Pirates plus 145. Flat 9, laying the 1.5 with the Cubs tonight, Joe, with Assad.
Yeah, are you? I'm going to go over in that game. I think there's a lot of runs tonight. Yeah. No good?
They have played some overs, those two, at Wrigley this year, that's for sure. It'll be Miguel and Rahm tonight, Brewers and the Cardinals in St. Louis. Brewers minus 125, plus 105 for the Redbirds, flat 9 the total, under for me.
I'm going to say the Brew Crew, a totally gutless team in terms of the Cardinals. I can't stand them. I'm only laying it with the Brew Crew.
Totally gutless team. Nasty Nate Evaldi will try to cash me my over 82.5 wins for the Rangers tonight. This is only the fifth day in a row we've tried to put this bet at the window. Tanner Houck goes for the Red Sox. Rangers are minus 160, plus 135 for Boston. Flat 9.
Let's go with Texas. Let's get it. Let's get it in the under. I don't like the
total.
Yes,
please, give me the Texas win.
Give
tonight.
Them the total.
Baltimore
give
and the Astros. I mean, look, I know they're going to get it. They're not going to lose every game for the rest of the next 2 weeks. But I want it to the window already. Let's go. It's been too many days. Kyle Gibson and Hunter Brown in Houston for the Orioles and the Astros. Astros minus 155. Flat 9 here. Davis liked the over in this game, Joe, and I'm kind of with him on that.
All right. If you guys like it, I like it. I never met it over I didn't like. So let's go over Stros tonight.
You definitely have not. The Mariners have Louis Castillo at the Ashtray in Oakland, but Blackburn goes for them. Minus 225 for Seattle. 7.5 is the total. Mariners, Joe, it's even the 1.5 is minus 120 if you want to take them on the run line, but Castillo, very good.
Now I'm going to lay the 1.5. I have no confidence in anything but that. Seattle, to me, at home is the play. Under, too.
Big series for your San Francisco Giants in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Both of these teams in that NL wildcard chase as well. Zach Gallen, minus 155. Alex Cobb, plus $1.25. 8.5 the total. I'm on the Diamondbacks, Joe.
No, you're not. I can only look to the Giants. Giants and the over. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
The island of misfit toys running out of gas down the stretch here in San Francisco.
They're fighting for a wild card. What are you talking about?
They are. Rockies, they're running out of gas. Rockies in San Diego, where they have Blake Snell, -3 Bills for San Diego tonight with Snell. Total 7.5. I like the over, Joe, like Davis did.
Yeah, all right, I'll take the over. I'll take the 1.5 for Colorado.
And finally, Tigers are in L.A. tonight against the Dodgers. They have Olsen going for them. The Dodgers, Joe, at this point, sitting -250, +200 for Detroit, 9 flat the total.
Going over Detroit and L.A.
I will save tater time for after I talk to Mike Blewett, and I will do that to close out the show. Joe, great job as always. I got Mike Blewett coming up next. Joe, get excited. A lot of college football for you tomorrow on Coast to Coast.
Haven't slept.
I know you haven't. And by the way, Ole Miss outright in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. Outright, Joe. Coast to Coast, we're back with Blewett after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High in for Scotty here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. Also great to have our boy Blue, Mike Blewett, who of course is in the hot seat on in-game live now in the late window, the 4:25 window on Sundays with the mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri. Mike, great to see you, my man, and on a Victory Tuesday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. How about that?
I'm excited about it. You had a Victory Monday for your Bills. I had a Victory Tuesday for the Steelers. They'll follow up a Monday nighter with a Sunday nighter against the Raiders. So a lot of primetime Steelers upcoming. Obviously, it was a really wild game, right? We had the backdrop of the other Monday night game going on, and then this game got started in a hurry, a pick six for the Steelers. It ends with a fumble return for a touchdown with the Steelers and a huge mess in between. Penalties, missed penalties, and both quarterbacks really being harassed the whole night. The Steelers entered the fourth quarter, Carver, trailing 22-19. They gained a total of -7 yards and won the game.
They won the game and scored 26 points. They didn't take one snap in the red zone. Not one. Right. They did not run a play in the red zone last night. And like you said, the defense on both sides was very good, but the defense for the Steelers ultimately won them the game. They had 2 touchdowns. We played a clip of Tomlin earlier in the show, and he basically said it, Mike. He's like, that's every time these two teams get together, is that the guys up front and the pass rushers are what usually decide Steeler-Brown games.
Yeah. Steelers suffered 2 sacks, but clearly pressure was a big part of the night for Pickett. He's got the lowest QBR in the league at 19. On the season. Watson took 5 sacks, the key fumble, the interception was a deflection and everything else, but they had 4 turnovers. You're not going to go on the road, commit 4 turnovers, and win games in the NFL. They have to do a better job of protecting him. The Steelers have to do a better job of protecting Pickett. And Carver, what you said about the red zone, unfortunately, that is a carbon copy of what was going on last year. Very few explosive plays. It was great to see one last night to Pickens. But if the Steelers don't get deep in the red zone, they have very little ability, unless Pickens develops, to take deeper shots and operate there with any efficiency. It's a struggle to watch. And fingers start getting pointed at the skill players, and I don't think that's where it lies. I thought the Steelers' biggest mistake going into this season was retaining Matt Canada, and we're seeing more of the same problems from a year ago.
When you're winning the football game and the crowd is chanting for the offensive coordinator to be fired, that's not a good thing. That's not good. You're winning the game at the end and they still want the offensive, because it was bad. And I think that Pickens is real good, Mike. Like, they gotta find ways, and I know that's on Canada, it's on, when he touches the ball, I mean, it's excitement. I mean, it's just Pickett having to get it to him and those plays being called. But they found, once again, and the Steelers find these guys. They're really good at drafting wide receivers. And I think they did it again with Pickens.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have possession guys. They can throw the ball to Harris, and Warren has four catches last night, and Freiermuth will be a good possession receiver, although Pickett really, honestly, you have to watch Steelers games to recognize this. He puts Freiermuth in terrible positions to get just dinged up in a huge way. He suffered multiple concussions last year. In week one, he was getting annihilated by Niners linebackers. They just have to find a way to protect Freiermuth for the long term. But even when Deontay Johnson comes back, they have to find a way to make Pickens the focus of the passing offense. He's too talented for this to be a grinded out ball possession team. I just think they have to find a way to get Pickens the ball even more than they did last night.
They certainly do, and they will have an opportunity to do that again in Vegas on Sunday night against the Raiders. There's an interesting game there with both teams being 1-1. And now the Raiders have swung, Mike. I saw it. Now, last night when it opened, I saw Steelers -1. Now Raiders -1.5 here late on Tuesday. So I got a feeling, Mike, that will change a lot between now and Sunday night. You'll probably see that move a couple different ways.
Yeah, I think that one bounces back. We saw Green Bay and Atlanta move back and forth through the key number of 0. And I think this game, that happens this week. The Steelers last night, home dog. They are money when they are a home underdog. So they pull it off again.
Let's talk a little bit about the other games coming up this week. This is the first week where we've got a lot of games with some double-digit numbers. You obviously have Thursday night with the Giants and the 49ers. You have a couple games that's going to be in your window with Joe at 425 here on the grid with the Bears, Chiefs, Cowboys, Cardinals. Lot of 10-plus point spreads here. Underdogs have been good so far this year through 2 weeks, 61%. Let's start with Thursday. Giants getting 10 in San Francisco off of that great second half against Arizona. Barkley's not going to play. I don't care what Brian Daboll said today. Barkley's not going to play on Thursday night. That's a tough spot for the Giants here, Mike, back-to-back road games on the West Coast.
Yeah, I don't see any way that the Giants can compete in this game. It's nice to see them knock out a big second half, but it's against what we all presume to be the worst team in the NFL this year. So it's good to get the win, but they did beat up on, not only are they expected to be the worst team, they're expected to be poor defensively, and Buda Baker was not playing, and he is the best player on that team, bar none. So I think there's a lot of challenges for the Giants. I think the only concern I saw out of the Niners on Sunday is that they did get diced up a little bit. Nick Bosa clearly is struggling early in the season. He's not in midseason shape. You could pick on him all you want, but he gets the big contract, and he's coming out multiple times because he's gassed during the game. But even if we wanted to pick at their defense a little bit, which is super talented, they put up 60 points in two games. Right? They haven't even played a home game yet, and they put up 60 points. So for all the things that you can pick apart, we had Debo making big plays. George Kittle has barely done anything offensively yet. McCaffrey, Ayuk, Purdy making the throws that he needs to make. I just think this is a team that is already playing like they're ready to win the Super Bowl, and they have a Giants team banged up coming off an exhausting performance in Arizona. So the 10 is a lot. I'll have to think long and hard about that one. I think that's a backdoor cover potentially waiting to happen. But in these lower scoring games, Carver, and we have seen a bunch of primetime unders thus far in the action this year, it's hard to say, in what's expected to be a lower scoring game, the Niners will cover by 10.5 or more. That's a hard bet.
Funny thing with the Niners is, obviously, McCaffrey, you know, he's had a lot of injuries. He's a little made of glass. I mean, that's all documented. He's had big injuries in his career. Shanahan made it sound like there was going to be a point to not give him as much work, keep him fresh, keep him healthy. Guy played almost every snap on Sunday, Mike. Like, Mitchell didn't even get in the game. That was very – that's weird. Like, is this another smokescreen from Shanahan? You're not going to do that again on Thursday. McCaffrey playing every snap on Sunday was very bizarre to me.
I would almost approach it to give him a dedicated rest game in a game like this. I'm not saying you can mail it in any game in the NFL, but they're not playing for September. This team has one goal in mind, and they were damn close last year and a couple of years prior. And I just think that they need to be mindful of that. And if Bosa needs some rest early, that's okay. People like us can criticize him for not being in shape. But frankly, if Bosa doesn't play a big load of snaps in September and he's better in February, great. That's the whole point of all of this. We see it in other sports, and there's a reluctance sometimes to rest guys that are not injured in the NFL.
Let's talk about these two other. And by the way, with us saying that, maybe you're right. And maybe we look for a little discount on some Elijah Mitchell props on Thursday night. Maybe they get a big lead. Yeah. You don't see McCaffrey at all in the second half. That could be a nice spot to look at when they put all those numbers up early on Thursday. All right, you have three games in your window Sunday.
Garber,
here on the
grid. I put it out there last night. Like when Deontay Johnson was announced out, I put it out there last night. This is a Pickens game. We covered it on the one play, but I just thought there would be more opportunities for him. It wasn't pretty, but he got there.
And he still got over. He got over a hundy too, for the first time in his career. So the work was there for him, no doubt. All right, you got Bears, Chiefs, Cowboys, Cardinals, Panthers, Seahawks. Two of those games with those big spreads. Like I meant, that's a tough late window. But whenever we think that,
Mike, we were great for 2 weeks, Carver. It's rough now.
But this is how the NFL works. Sometimes we think that when you look at these three games on the surface, that they're all going to be bad. You know at least one of them is going to be in doubt in the fourth quarter. I don't know which one of these three it's going to be. I don't think it'll be the Cowboy-Cardinal game, but I think that one of these games – and the Chiefs have been slow offensively, Mike, to start the year. So who knows? It could be that game.
Sure. 37 points so far for the Chiefs through two games. I don't see a way that the Bears can really punch back, but to be honest, the Bears were in that game in the fourth quarter. That's a three-point game. Late in that game before they throw the ridiculous pick six on a play that they called three times in a row, by the way. The first two got called back for penalties. They called the play a third time in a row and then a pick six. You might want to switch it up when you're playing against NFL defenses. Seattle has been off and on. You're right. There is bound to be a game in this late window that's competitive. You even look at the Seattle spread, you're like, 5.5 feels like it should be more in Seattle. The rookie quarterback, Panthers really struggling offensively. They'll get their legs under them at some point, but I think that Seattle game is something to watch because it's curiously low spread. I just worry about the Bears. I could see Dallas having – I think Dallas is going to take care of business, and I just worry if the Bears are going to start slip-sliding away. They're already off to a terrible start. And playing bad football and not protecting the quarterback again, it's a theme, unfortunately, early in the season, Carver. There's a bunch of quarterbacks out there that are just being hung out to dry.
They certainly are. We got about a minute left. I said this earlier, and I'm still going to stick to it. I don't think the Bengals are going to pull off what they did last year. Started 0-2 last year. Won 12 of their next 14, won the North. This is a different circumstances, different team. Burrow might not play Monday or maybe even beyond that. Cincinnati off to a rough start, Mike, and I don't think they're going to get out of it this year.
I think that's fair. You can't just expect him to pull it off. And you have this other dynamic as well of two really good defenses in the Browns and the Steelers that he'll have to go up against. And Baltimore is operating the way we've wanted Baltimore to operate. They found somebody in Zay Flowers here. Mark Andrews continues to be an important target. They lose J.K. Dobbins, but I think Lamar is going to be able to operate more freely if he stays healthy. This is going to be Baltimore's division. It probably would have been last year and the year before. So I'm with you. I think the Bengals' challenge this year is far more uphill than it was in the last two seasons.
Mike, we will see you, of course, Sunday, as we mentioned, 425 East, in-game live with the mayor of Miami. And what a cover in Chestnut Hill last Saturday for the Fighting Bluets, the Eagles of BC, Mike. Mike Bluet. We'll see you next time, Mike.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast Tuesday. Carver High in for Scotty here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. Before we get out of here, the only thing we did not get to in the baseball is tater time for tonight. That's right. We are not leaving without giving you the taters. Here we go. It's been a while since we've used Aaron Judge on tater time. Plus 200, yes, low number. Has a couple of homers in his career off of Kikuchi. Average not great, but does hit him. Austin Riley hit a homer off of Sanchez last week. Let's go back to the well. Plus 375. Corey Seager, why? This is a personal one for me. I need somebody on the Rangers to step up tonight and get things done. Hopefully it's going to be Corey Seager. Plus 300 against Hauk. Mookie Betts plus 375 late night against the Tigers. And the big ball play of the night will be Corbin Carroll against Alex Cobb in the desert in Arizona, plus 600 for Corbin Carroll tonight. I kind of like Christian Walker in that game as well. The Arizona Big Bats as they continue their playoff push. Couple of NFL things. Lions officially put C.J. Gardner-Johnson on IR. Of course, he's got the pec problem. Kareem Hunt, we mentioned, is going to visit with the Browns. They're also talking to the Rams about Cam Akers, which of course is by far one of the more bizarre situations that you'll see. Between what happened last year, quest to trade, doesn't play, comes back, has 300-yard games to end the year, comes in this year, plays the first week, has a touchdown, Kyren Williams plays better, and suddenly he doesn't play this week and he's getting traded. Very strange, the Cam Akers stuff with LA, but they need to get him out of there, that's for sure. Several other things here. Also, there was one other guy that I had for, oh, Garrett Wilson. Losing streak to the Patriots, unacceptable. Okay, well then go get it done on Sunday against him if that's what you need to do. All right, great job by Mafia and the crew today. Great job by Joe, Davis Maddock, Mike Blewett, Gabe Morency, Mike DeCourcy, cast of thousands here today on Coast to Coast. We have game time decisions coming up next with your boy K-Dub. We'll see you back tomorrow. Coast to Coast on the grid. See you then. Have a good night.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.